Well, good evening, everyone. It's good to be with you again. It's a beautiful evening here in Vineland, and what a privilege that we can take a few moments to pause in the week and meditate together and pray. Just a note about next week. Next week, because we have the annual Ascension Day service on Thursday, there will be no Wednesday night meditation. So just a heads up about that. No meeting next Wednesday. Tonight I would like to read with you Revelation chapter 18. Some nights when we meet like this, we just focus on one verse, but tonight I want to read a whole chapter. And you'll see why as we read it. This chapter is about the fall of the city of Babylon. And of course we know about the Old Testament city of Babylon and the menace and the threat that it was to the Jews. And at one point Babylon destroyed Jerusalem and took its people captive. So Babylon has long been a symbol of enmity towards God and his people. And that's important because here in Revelation 18, the very end of the Bible, we meet Babylon once more. And we need to know from the outset that this Babylon, as we'll read about it, it's not simply an Old Testament city. In fact, it's not one particular city. It's a representation of the whole world concentrated in opposition to God. The whole world steeped in sin. The whole world, can find all of that in this chapter, tells us then about the destruction of Babylon. So let's read the chapter together and then we'll pray for God's blessing. Revelation 18, verse 1, the Word of God. After these things I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues. For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Render to her just as she rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works. In the cup which she has mixed, mix double for her. In the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow. For she says in her heart, I sit as queen, and am no widow, and will not see sorrow. Therefore her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judges her. The kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning, standing at a distance for fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city, Babylon, that mighty city, for in one hour your judgment has come. And the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, for no one buys their merchandise anymore. Merchandise of gold and silver, precious stones and pearls, fine linen and purple, silk and scarlet, every kind of citron wood, every kind of object of ivory, every kind of object of most precious wood, bronze, iron, and marble, and cinnamon and incense, fragrant oil and frankincense, wine and oil, fine flour and wheat, cattle and sheep, horses and chariots, and bodies and souls of men. The fruit that your soul longed for has gone from you, and all the things which are rich and splendid have gone from you, and you shall find them no more at all. The merchants of these things who became rich by her will stand at a distance for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing and saying, Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in one hour such great riches came to nothing. Every shipmaster, all who travel by ship, Sailors and as many as trade on the sea stood at a distance and cried out when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, "What is like this great city?" They threw dust on their heads and cried out, weeping and wailing and saying, "Alas, alas, that great city, in which all who had ships on the sea became rich by her wealth, for in 1 hour she is made desolate. Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her." Then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, "Thus with violence the great city Babylon shall be thrown down and shall not be found any more. The sound of harpists, musicians, flutists, and trumpeters shall not be heard in you any more. No craftsman of any craft shall be found in you any more. And the sound of a millstone shall not be heard in you any more. The light of a lamp shall not shine in you any more. And the voice of bridegroom and bride shall not be heard in you any more. For your merchants were the great men of the earth, for by your sorcery all the nations were deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and saints, and of all who were slain on the earth." Well, let's pray and ask for God's blessing on his word. Lord our God, we have read most serious and solemn words, and yet at the same time most glorious and wonderful words. And we pray that you will bless them to us as we have read them and as we consider them this evening for a brief time. We pray, Lord, that you will give us understanding, and that by means of your word you will also change our lives. Above all, that you will work in us, that we cling to Christ, who alone can deliver us from the wrath to come, in whom we are safe, and by whose blood and righteousness we may enter into the holy city, the eternal city, the new Jerusalem. Lord, be with us tonight. Remember each one who is listening. You know all our needs, all our cares, all our burdens. We commend ourselves into your hand, and we pray that you will bless us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, it's fair to say that in reading this chapter, we cannot help but think about all we have experienced in the last 2 months. And I mean now not only the virus, but everything that has accompanied it, including worldwide economic devastation and near collapse. And it remains to be seen to what degree there will be a recovery. We hope so, and we pray for that. But who can read Revelation 18 and not think of the last 2 months? We immediately see many connections. Now, we don't know if the time in which we are living is exactly what is being predicted here in Revelation 18. But as someone has said recently, our current global catastrophe is the starkest foreshadowing of this chapter that most of us have ever experienced in our lifetime. And to use the language then of our text, we have learned in these last days and weeks, we have learned that God can judge and destroy Babylon. He can, and he most certainly will. God can and God will judge and destroy Babylon. He will. He really will. For he is stronger than all. He is the most holy God and the almighty God. And someday everyone will see that and will know. We can only highlight the main points, and let's see if we can learn a number of things. God is telling us about the fight, three lessons for us all. So three and three. God will judge and destroy Babylon. And one thing that's very clear is that he will do it suddenly. God will do it suddenly. For example, we notice the words in verse 8. Her plagues, that is, the plagues that will come on Babylon, they will come in 1 day. Death and mourning and famine in 1 day. And then notice verse 10. What the kings of the earth say as they mourn over Babylon's fall. End of verse 10. In 1 hour, your judgment has come. In fact, that very line gets repeated. We hear it again in verse 17. This time from the mouth of merchants, the business people, as they look around at the destruction and the loss of their markets and their wealth. And they say in verse 17, in 1 hour, such great riches came to nothing. And then verse 19, this time from the shipmaster and the sailors, everyone involved in, we might say, worldwide transportation of goods and trade, as they too look around and see nothing left, and they're lamenting and mourning and weeping and wailing, and they say in verse 19, in 1 hour, Babylon is made desolate. So in one day, and then in 1 hour. Now, whether we are meant to understand that literally or not, we do have to be careful with numbers and so on in Revelation. But either way, the point is crystal clear. When God comes to judge this evil, wicked world, when God finally carries out His justice and avenges all sin and guilt, He will come suddenly. Peace and safety, Paul says elsewhere in the Bible, is the refrain of the natural man. But then sudden destruction will befall him. God's judgment will be swift. There will not be time to process all that is happening. In a few short minutes, really, the Lord will take down everything this world has brought up. All its wealth, all its idolatry, all its abundance and majesty and might and pride and vainglory, all of it, the Lord will take it down in one fell swoop. And again, has He not confirmed to us this very point in the events of the last number of weeks and months? You know that this week it has been exactly 2 months. Today is May 13. It was on March 12 that we gathered here for a prayer service. That was in the evening, but in the morning we woke up to the news that domestic travel, air travel from Europe was being suspended for 30 days. That same day, news came that the Prime Minister's wife was sick. And then at the end of the day, the schools were closing indefinitely. And following that, the stock markets went crashing down. And that night we came together for prayer. And we were all very sober. What was happening? We wondered, what was going on in the world? And the point is, if God could do what He did then, and what He's still doing, because we're still very humbled and uncertain as to how things will go. We can have our thoughts, and we've learned many things, but it's still anyone's guess as to what is coming, and we are very much in God's hands. But if God could do what He did then in those days, and still in our days, then He most certainly can and He most certainly will do what He has described here in Revelation 18. A time is coming when the judgment of God will fall upon this world, and it will come suddenly and in a very brief moment of time. Babylon will fall. The world will become undone, and all of it will go down in one day. We read, and then in 1 hour, one little hour. You know, I used to think when I read this chapter, how is that ever possible? How can it all happen in 1 hour? What will that look like? And now after all we've gone through, suddenly it becomes so much more realistic to us, doesn't it? In 1 hour, God is saying all the empires of this world, all the riches of this world, all the networks, all the infrastructure, all the security, all that's been built up over the centuries and millennia will come crashing down and will be a smoking ruin. God will do it suddenly. But not only suddenly, secondly, notice that He will do it totally. Totally. God will judge Babylon totally. We find this also throughout the chapter, already in the opening verses, with this picture of Babylon being taken over by demons and the foul spirits and unclean and hated birds. Someone has put it like this: the point is that the abode of mankind will become as desolate as a ghost town, a home only to wild creatures. And God, this person went on, this person said, God will turn Satan's amusement park into a prison for sinners and demons. In other words, total destruction. And then verse 8, she will be utterly burned with fire. again, total destruction. And then we get a number of categories of people and their reflections. We read about kings. So the leaders, the politicians, the people who have run this world, but now they have no subjects, no followers. Now there is no one over whom they can rule. And now they stand at a distance. Now they are afraid of that over which they reigned, because they see it just a smoking heap. All the carnal power of men and women, all of it gone. Nothing left. And then we read about the merchants and the long list of their merchandise, all the things that they traded, all the products that they bought and sold, and quite a list. But never mind, the whole market has been shut down. And every man's wealth has melted away. And here too, nothing is left. And then we read about the men on ships, all the traders and sailors. And like the merchants on land, they too had become rich through their business. A modern day parallel might be the runways where the airplanes sit now, parked one after another, hundreds and thousands of them, not flying. These merchants back, these sailors, back in the day they could live luxuriously, but now we read they face desolation. Babylon has been made desolate. And again, altogether it indicates total judgment and destruction. And then notice the last verses of the chapter, because they add to the point. Verse 21, for instance, and the picture that it presents. Then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, thus with violence the great city Babylon shall be thrown down and shall not be found any more. Serious destruction is being prophesied here. Violent destruction, even total destruction. And then in the last verses, we read in 22 and 23 about the end of all music. Harpists, musicians, flutists. We might say the end of concerts and parties. And likewise, the end of trade and industry and business. And even the light won't shine anymore. And people won't even get married anymore. And by implication, all worldly prosperity is over. All worldly delight is finished. And once more, it points to the fact that what is coming is total. The fall of Babylon will be sudden. The fall of Babylon will be total. And then one more point from this chapter before we make several applications. One more thing that's clear is that God will judge and destroy Babylon not only suddenly and totally, but eternally. Eternally. And here just notice one word that we find in verse 21, 22, and 23. One word that gets repeated six times. It's the word anymore. Verse 21, Babylon shall not be found anymore. Verse 22, the sound of music shall not be heard in you anymore. No craftsman of any craft shall be found in you anymore. The sound of a millstone shall not be heard in you anymore. The light of a lamp shall not shine anymore. The voice of bridegroom and bride shall not be heard in you anymore. Never anymore. That's the point. And it's repeated, and it's like a drumbeat at the end of this chapter, a drumbeat that is sealing the everlasting doom of Babylon. God will judge her and destroy her forever. She will never recover, never anymore. And of course, we know that's what the Bible consistently teaches, doesn't it? That the church of God enters into eternal life, but the unbelieving and the ungodly face the everlasting wrath and fury of the Lord. Everlasting death in the fires of hell. Everlasting sorrow and agony and torment. Everlasting. And so this is the point of this chapter. God will judge and destroy Babylon. Babylon is fallen. Babylon the Great is fallen. And God will do so suddenly, totally, and eternally. And again, that all that we have experienced in these past months, and even now, let it only serve to confirm how certainly God will do this. He can, and He will. And in terms of how we respond to it, here now the second set of three applications. And the first one is this: how important that we not be part of Babylon. How important that we not be part of Babylon. In fact, in this very chapter, we hear an urgent call to come out of Babylon. Verse 4 and 5, "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues. For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Come out of her, says the Lord." And why these words matter: on the one hand, they remind us that by nature we're all part of Babylon. We're all part of her as sinners. We're all born into her in a way, as we are born into this world in Adam. And so we are naturally on our way to judgment. Hopefully you have learned this also about yourself. And yet at the same time, the gospel call is to come out of Babylon. The gospel call is to come out of this world and into Jesus Christ, into the Savior by faith. He alone can deliver us from the destruction that is poised to fall upon the city. How clearly he says that in verse 4, "lest you share in her sins and lest you receive of her plagues." The fact is, when judgment falls, if you are not in Jesus Christ, if you have not turned to him and are trusting in him, then you too will be judged and destroyed. When Babylon falls, you will fall. It's so vital and urgent to come to Christ. But let's not only hear verse 4 as a call to come to Christ. More than that, it is really a call to the people of God to live differently than this world. It is a call to live differently than this world. As much as we still live in this world, we reside for the time being in the city of Babylon, as it were, in terms of our character, in terms of our priorities, in terms of our decisions and lifestyle and conversation and conduct, in terms of all of that and more, we're to live apart from Babylon. Elsewhere, the Bible says that pure religion and undefiled is that we live unspotted from this world. We are to be holy as the Lord is holy. If we are Christian, let us live as Christians. Let us not live as if we are Babylonians. Let us not be worldly Christians. Of course, to say it like that, immediately we can see that doesn't work. It can't work. We can't be truly Christian if we are worldly Christians. But that is the point of the text. Don't be worldly. Be true. Be true Christian believers. Is this maybe something we need to hear? Do we need to repent of any worldliness that has crept into our lives? Is there still too much the stain of Babylon upon us? Maybe in our personal walk, maybe in our family behavior. To what degree have we embraced a lifestyle of immorality or luxury or idolatry, living in sin or living for riches or living in pursuit of ease, comfort and pleasure, as if that is what life is all about, living ultimately to satisfy our own sinful lusts and desires? Isn't this pandemic time and its foreshadowing of the ultimate judgment, isn't it a time and a warning really to make sure that we are not living still in Babylon? At least not living in her as if we are part of her. To be sure that we are not compromising our commitment to the Lord. Come out of her, the Lord says. Come out of her. Oh, that one of the fruits of this time in which we find ourselves will be greater devotion to the Lord, greater holiness to the Lord, greater zeal for the Lord in all things. How important not to be part of Babylon. That's one application. Here's the second. What a comfort to all God's people that justice will be finally and forever done. What a comfort to the church that God's justice will be finally and forever done. Now maybe this seems a bit strange to us, at least at first. But who can miss the emphasis on this point throughout this chapter? Like in verse 6 and verse 7. "Render to her," that is to Babylon, "just as she rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works. In the cup which she has mixed, mix double for her. In the measure she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give torment and sorrow." Now, we are not used to this language, and it is possible that it makes us uncomfortable. Should we be so intent on justice, really? Are we not called to love even our enemies as the Lord Himself has taught us? And that's true. And yet God does not forget about justice. And the truth is that Babylon is evil, and it represents this wicked world. And it has not just lived for itself, which in itself is bad enough, but it has lived to oppress and to destroy the Lord and His people. We read in verse 23 at the end of the chapter how the merchantmen used sorcery to deceive the nations. And that's bad enough. But then in verse 24, we learn how Babylon has shed the blood of prophets and saints and more throughout the ages. How many Christians indeed have suffered and are suffering still at the hands of this world, have died and are dying even now for their faith. And that cries out for justice. And God, being a just God, He will avenge His people. He promises to do that. He promises to make everything right. He promises to set this whole world right. And it is meant to be a comfort to the people of God. Elsewhere, the Bible makes that clear. It is a comfort to know that God will take care of everything. Leave vengeance to Him. He will repay, we read in Romans 12. God will make sure that justice is served, and that's a comfort, and we may even rejoice in that. If we are on God's side, and not that we gloat over our enemy's destruction. How different we are compared to them. They gloat over us now. We don't ever gloat over them. We weep over them. And so long as they live, we call to them and we witness to them as best as we can, and we pray for them. "God, have mercy on them," is the cry of our heart. But if they persist in their sin, if they will not leave Babylon, when God's judgment comes, when the destruction falls, then we will agree with God, and we will even praise His name. And we will rejoice in His works. And we will say, "What He has done is right." Let's not miss this point. It's meant to be a comfort to the people of God. God will take care of things. And God's justice will be vindicated. And even then, in these challenging days, when sometimes we wonder about everything, and sometimes we can even worry about the plans and the plots of man. And who knows all that is going on? Who knows also what is in store for the Christian church as a result of this? Maybe there will be more suffering ahead. If not this time round, then another time round. In this world, you will have tribulation, Jesus said. If they hated me, they will hate you. Well, let Revelation 18 comfort us, and let us practice the counsel of Psalm 37. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in the way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm, for evildoers shall be cut off. That's one thing. The Bible makes that so plain. Evildoers shall be cut off. And then there's the flip side to that. But those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. And saying that, we come to the last application. Not only let's be sure not to be part of Babylon, and let's be comforted that God will judge Babylon, but lastly, let's remember what comes after Babylon for all believers. What comes after Babylon for all believers, or after the fall of Babylon, I should say. And what comes after is the new heaven and new earth and the holy city, the new Jerusalem in all of its splendor and beauty and perfection and majesty and brilliance. What comes after Revelation 18 is Revelation 19 and 20 and especially 21. John seeing the new Jerusalem descending out of heaven from God and hearing a voice from God from heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." That is what is coming ultimately. And let us remember that and reflect that we remember that and rejoice in what we may remember and reflect. To say it in the words of Hebrews 13, "Here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Not Babylon, no, but the new Jerusalem, the holy city, the everlasting home." And as sure as Babylon will go down, so sure will Jerusalem come down, even in all of its glory. And all God's people will enter into its gates and be there in the presence of God and in his glory forever and evermore. Amen. Let us pray together. O Lord our God, we bow before you once more at the end of this short time to say again about this word that we have read. What a solemn and serious word it is. And yet at the same time, what a glorious and wonderful word it is. It is a word about the fall of Babylon. Babylon representing all that is wicked and evil in this world. All the hostility to you, the living God. All the oppression of your people, all the man-made glory and pride and wickedness that has gone on for centuries and will go on till the end of time. And that Babylon will someday fall. And Lord, by way of your word, we have learned how it will be sudden and how it will be total and how it will be eternal. And as we think about the days in which we live and all that we have experienced, even in these last 2 months, then for sure we can say here and now there has been a foreshadowing at least of that great day. And we pray that we may take that to heart for ourselves, that we may have a biblical understanding of all that is going on and of all that will come to pass. And we pray too, Lord God, that we may learn then the lessons that we are meant to learn, including the summons to come out of Babylon, lest we share in her sins and perish in her plagues. Lord, we are doing so much to be careful and responsible to avoid COVID, and we pray that you will bless our efforts and that in your providence you may protect us. But even more seriously, Lord, we want to avoid sin, and we need to live free of sin. We need to be in the Lord Jesus Christ by faith and be washed in his blood, and we pray that for each and every one of us, all who are listening, that we may know what it is to turn from our sin, from ourself, from the devil, that we may know what it is to turn in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ and to say, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." O Lord, we pray that you will work that in every heart that listens tonight, and we pray that you will work that in so many more hearts all around us. We think how this pandemic is a merciful warning to this world, and we wonder how many people are hearing the warning, how many people are heeding the warning, or is it simply business as usual or as soon as possible, unmindful of the fact that people are being summoned by you to repent. We pray that people may hear, that sinners may hear your voice, and we pray, Lord, that you will bless us and our witness, that we too may be a means of helping them hear and see, of pointing them to the greater danger that is coming and to the great need to belong to the Savior. And at the same time, will you help us to live holy lives? We confess, Lord, as church and as confessing Christians, that we can easily be too attached to Babylon. We can live as Christians in this world, but in a way that is so often compromising, in a way that we come across as if our hearts are divided. Yes, we love Christ, but Yes, we love this world too. And we can't live that way, because you tell us it is one or the other. And so we pray that in view of the judgment that is prophesied so starkly, so seriously, we also ourselves may be clear, individually and as families and as congregation and as part of the church worldwide. We will come out of Babylon. We will live with our hearts for the Lord and for the Lord alone. We pray that your Holy Spirit will apply this word, also this searching word, to each one of us. We thank you for the comfort that we may have that someday you will make everything right. Someday, O Lord, justice will be done. And while it is difficult for us to imagine how that will all be, and even on whom that will all fall, and our hearts even break perhaps, as they should, you have no desire in the death of the wicked, but that they turn. And so, Lord, we feel the same way. And yet when people persist in opposing you and defying you and blaspheming you, then in concern for your justice and to proclaim your glory, we too will agree with what we read here. Babylon must fall and be destroyed. And someday, Lord, we know it will happen. We don't know when. We don't know where we are in that timeline. We know that our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. We know that Christ is on his way, that he is coming quickly. Till then, will you help us to be faithful? And grant that we may live like the church of old. Here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. And help us to long more and more for that new Jerusalem, and to be steadfast in our devotion to you and in our looking to what is coming. We pray that your Holy Spirit, for the sake of Christ, may continually apply your word to us all, and that we may love the Savior and give ourselves to him. We pray again for your mercy to this world in this time, also in the way of delivering, if it can be your will, from this COVID crisis. How paralyzing it is. We ask, O Lord, that you would also remember those who are sick and be merciful to the dying. Grant them yet to come back to healing and strength, or else to hear gospel and to believe in the Savior. We pray, help those who serve them. Bless all medical personnel. Be gracious to them. Minister to them. Speak to them in a way they hear and respond as well. And bless them. Bless their families and protect them. We pray too for our government and for its many responsibilities. We pray that you will give them great discernment and understanding. We pray that evil may be exposed. We pray that good may and truth and righteousness may be done. We pray that you will guide those who lead us and give them that wisdom that can only come from you. We pray that in your mercy we might be restored to public worship. How we miss being able to gather as congregation. And we pray that you may hear our cries and answer our prayers. Will you help us to live in hope? Maybe we are sometimes cast down. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Indeed, what a hope you give us. And may we live above all in that hope, and let it nourish us, and let it strengthen us, let it fortify us, let it focus us each and every day that we live. We pray for countries around this world that have far less than we do and suffer in far more ways than we do. We pray for your church, O Lord, and your people in lands where there is great poverty, in lands where there is oppression, where there is terrible suffering. We pray be with your people and help them wherever they find themselves. Be very near to them and sustain them, strengthen them. Lord God, we look to you, we cry out to you. We ask you to hear us. We feel our neediness and our helplessness. We pray you to remember us in your mercy and to work in a way that you glorify your name, in a way that you glorify your Son, in a way that many are drawn to him to find their life, even their eternal life in him. And all this we pray because he went to the cross, and because he took the judgment that we deserve, because he fell, as it were, and came under your wrath in a way that we can never fathom, so that we can escape and enter freely and boldly into the eternal city. O Lord Jesus, we praise you. We adore you. Help us trust you, love you, and serve you. Be with us now and remember us as we head into the evening. Keep us in your care through the night and continue to strengthen us on our way. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good night, everyone, and may God be with you till we meet.